Let us turn again to Isaiah chapter 50 and at verse 4. Verse 4 in Isaiah 50. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Well, we were trying to say something about this portion on Saturday, and we considered 2 points. First of all, Christ is the one to whom the Father has given the tongue of the learned one, the one who has knowledge. That was the first thing. And then the second thing was that because he was in that way learned, because he had that great degree of knowledge, he was able to speak a word in season, a timely word, to the one that is weary. And I return to this verse this evening so that I could say something more on that second point. Christ, as the one who is learned, as the one who has knowledge, who has great supplies of knowledge, he knows how to deal with individual souls. As far as that is concerned, he knows how to deal with groups of souls. We're just now dealing with individual souls. He knows when to speak, and he knows what to say at particular times. He knows how to give a word in season to the one that is weary, and that's particularly what I hope, the Lord helping us, that we might say something more quite briefly, in considering where the time has reached, on this point of Christ speaking to the one that is weary. Now, I did say something about Christ coming to weary souls. Souls seeking Christ, whether for the first time or having done so many times before, they feel their weariness again in trying to find Christ for themselves. And I quoted the call Christ gives. How many have received these words as something in season, something seasonable for them in their weariness? And these are the words at the end of Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now the Lord knows who in particular he is speaking to. He knows when they particularly need the seasonable word, and he is able to meet with them where they are and speak to them in such a way that under the influence of the Holy Spirit, they are made willing to flee to Christ. Now that's a great matter. Sinners in their need, sinners in their lost condition, made willing to follow Christ. Christ is the one who came into the world to save sinners. And they get a face view of it, so that they stretch out their hand to touch him, as it were, by God's grace, by God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit. They're made willing and able to come to Christ. And they see Christ as a suitable Savior. Now, I'm not saying that sinners necessarily know when Christ first spoke to them, spoke to them savingly, when he opened their eyes and took them aside, as it were, not physically, but as if Christ took them aside and spoke into their souls, opened their eyes, opened their ears, and they were able to see Jesus. Isn't that what we have in the case of Lydia? There she was, listening by the riverside. Perhaps it was just a group of women there, but what I was saying perhaps was in connection with whether they were just standing or whether they were sitting down. The important thing is not these physical actions or non-actions, but how they were affected in their soul. And the Lord opened her soul so that she attended. The Lord opened her ears, opened her heart so that she attended unto the words that Paul spoke. It seemed such a chance affair, but it was no such thing. There was, as far as these women, they were just gathered and they were engaging in prayer together. And Paul came along with Silas. They were sent there by the Holy Spirit. Was that not a wonderful thing? And whether you understand when the Savior first came to you, or his messenger first came to you and spoke, and the Holy Spirit was working, and your heart was opened, so that you attended to the things that were spoken by Paul. It seemed such a chance meeting between yourself and Christ. You hadn't planned it. The preacher hadn't planned it. But the Holy Spirit planned it. He planned to go and speak into your soul. Then the God of heaven planned it. Everything is planned. But oh, what a particular importance we should attach to that meeting between yourself and Christ, if you had that and recognized. But if you had, if your heart was opened, what a blessed thing that was. It will have eternal consequences. Now, is that not vitally important? What blessed eternal consequences that were between that were for Lydia? She is in heaven now, enjoying these eternal consequences that are the result of Christ's meeting with her, the Holy Spirit working in her, and the apostle speaking to her. As an ambassador for Christ, these are wonderful things, and you should be asking, and I should be asked, for such meetings with Christ. such meetings with the Holy Spirit as if Christ's ambassador. And there may be no ambassador involved, just the Lord speaking through his word. But let us keep to the pattern that we have in Acts 16. The Lord came to meet with her. The Lord opened her heart and she attended. Grace was given to her to pay attention to what Paul was saying and to receive it, to take it in. He would have been speaking about Christ and that the Lord sent him to save sinners. The Lord sent him to the cross and he went to the cross. He went willingly to the cross. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem and further to go outside the camp to Calvary. And there, as we heard on Sabbath about the centurion, he recognized him as the Son of God. Well, Mr. Whelan wasn't willing to say definitively whether it was a saving meeting or not. And I'm not going to say anything on that point. But you see, it illustrates what the Lord is able to do. And when a sinner gets a view of the person of Christ, that is a wonderful thing, a saving view, so that he embraces Christ, he receives Christ. Oh, it may only be the touching of the garment of Christ, the hem of the garment. Well, in connection with the woman with the issue of blood, she only touched the hem of the Savior's garment, but power went out from Christ into her soul. There was power, where there was saving power, or the power of Christ fully revealing himself to her in a way that had never happened before. Perhaps we don't need to say anything about that either. But there's no doubt that that woman found Christ. If not for the first time, then in a new way. But you see, whatever is true about some of these things, whether the sinner sees what the Savior is doing in his soul, at her soul, at a particular time, whether that is seen or not, whether the sinner knows when grace flowed into his at her heart, still, the great thing is, what am I now? Of course, if the Lord has met with you in the past in a saving way, not just in a way of stirring you up because of your sins, and people might have that and never go further, or never go further at that time. It's a solemn matter to have the Lord speak to you and know that you need Christ. Know that you need to be delivered from your sins. See that if that has happened to you, that you seek him earnestly now. If you have not found him already, seek earnestly. And if that is never found, if Christ has never found you even in the way of giving the Holy Spirit to reprove you of sin, yet see that you seek him now. You need him. You need Christ as a sinner on the way to eternity. We all need Christ. Some have found, but let us all be seeking. But you see, there's a sinner that comes to Christ, and that sinner is taught by the Holy Spirit. But what I want to point to before we close, and I would like to come back to this verse and this point in some other occasion, but notice these words in the previous chapter at verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the captive, or the lawful captive delivered? In captive to whom? To Satan. The sinner in captivity to Satan. Is it possible that the sinner can be delivered? That the sinner can be released? Is it possible? Well, the answer is, thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible one, the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Yes. However firmly a sinner has been taken captive, however far that sinner has gone in captivity under the influence of the evil, there's still hope. When that sinner is spared in this world, there's hope. And that was true of Lydia. Suppose she hadn't previously obtained mercy, and the form of words used about her seems to suggest that. And though she might have been faithfully attending what means of grace she might have had the access to, still, if we're correct in what we're saying, she was in Satan's kingdom. She was a captive. Could she be delivered? You see, the great difference is this, between a soul still on the way to a lost eternity, going on in sin, and on the other hand, a soul who has been delivered, a soul who is now in the narrow way that leads to everlasting life. That's the great difference. Not so much the difference between somebody like Lydia coming to the means of grace and compared with someone who is far gone in sin, far gone in opposition to the kingdom of God, far gone in rebellion against it. That's a distinction, that's a difference, but it's not the critical one. But can the lawful captive be delivered? Lawful captive in the sense that he came into the Garden of Eden and took the whole race of mankind captive, leading them on to destruction, unless God in his mercy takes to do with them, unless the Savior speaks and the word is applied with power to their souls. What a great difficulty is set before us here. Can the lawful captive be delivered? Can the prey be taken from the mighty one? How you came into the Garden of Eden and took took Adam and Eve captive. Oh, what a solemn and terrible day that was. But you see, just after that happened, the gospel was proclaimed. And so Isaiah is told to say, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. And that takes place because there is a greater, a stronger than the mighty one, a stronger than the strong man armed. Yes. Oh, let the two come into conflict as happened when the Savior was tempted by the devil. There was a contest. But who conquered? The devil went away. He gave up the contest. The mighty one, the altogether mightier than the devil, he spoke the word. He took the sword of the Spirit, we might say, and entered into contest with the one who was coming to tempt him. Yes. And he sends arrows into his heart, into the devil's heart. He sent the arrows of the word, and the devil just slunk away. By the time the third arrow was fired, was it that the devil could not think of anything else to attempt? Was it that the devil was quite simply overthrown, overwhelmed? Well, whatever it was, the Savior exercised his power, and the devil went off. And as he was conquering the devil, can we not say that he was making a preliminary claim? I use the words in a limited way, but a preliminary claim to all those that he had come into the world to redeem. He was not cleared of the devil's assaults. But, you see, he was showing his power, a power that he would use so forcefully, so completely, as to lay the foundation for all the captive ones that the Father had given to him in the everlasting covenant. He laid claim to them. He laid a foundation, perhaps we can say, for the deliverance of all these that will constitute yet a multitude that no one can number. And you see, to come back to this line of thought, is it not our duty to plead with the Lord to grant us salvation, that Christ would come and speak to us and exercise his sovereign power so that we might be delivered from Satan, that we would be among the lawful captives in the sense I mentioned. And I could have said more, and perhaps should have, by way of explanation. But, you see, there was the Savior laying claim, saying, these are mine. And the devil, you see, was trying to deflect it from the work that the Father had given him to do. He couldn't succeed in that. And he can't succeed in keeping sinners in his kingdom when Christ, in infinite mercy, comes to speak. When Christ, in infinite mercy, speaks a word in season to the one that is wearily trying to seek salvation. If that describes yourself, then look to Christ. He will not cast you away. May the Lord blesses word to us.